Arlo knew something was wrong the moment he laid eyes on the place. It wasn't that there was anything wrong with the house itself. It sat in the shadows of the tall oak trees that filled the city's historical district. There were so many of the things that most of the light from the street lamps was all but completely blocked, hiding the details of the restored Queen Anne-style structure in a layer of chilly autumn darkness. No, the house itself was fine. The source of his apprehension was something less tangible. "What is it?" Dina said, looking up from her phone screen. The glow cast a faintly blue shadow over her light mocha skin. The Tahoe's engine hummed, and warm air blew from the vents between the two front seats, just hard enough to tickle the back of Arlo's thin hand. The two agents in the front were quiet, their eyes sweeping over the vehicle's surroundings. Arlo didn't bother looking over at Dina. He didn't have to. After 7 years of working together, he could have described the look on her face just from the tone of her voice. "I'm not quite sure," he said, letting his eyes and his deeper senses sweep over the place. "I feel something, but it's obscured somehow. Muffled. Are we certain it's here?"
"As much as we can be. We know that one of them contacted the seller on the dark web and payment was made. It's had time to make it across the ocean."
"But no visual confirmation."
"Of course not. We just got here."
"I'm feeling something. It's just off normal enough to notice."
Dina considered it. "The relic? Could you be sensing that? It would confirm things. I mean, if the intel on it is right, then the damn thing's probably got its own aura."
Arlo nodded. "If it's actually one of the seven crypticals, then yes, without a doubt. That could be it, I suppose. It's odd, though. Where are the perimeter teams?"
"Half a click out in four directions," she said. "I give the word and they can be here in well under a minute.
Why, you checking my work?"
Arlo suppressed a momentary impulse to smile.
"I wouldn't dream of presuming so much. I just wanted to know how many celebratory drinks I'd be buying if this goes to plan."
Dina gave a small laugh and said, "All of them, money bags. Getting this thing out of circulation would be a big win for everybody."
Arlo nodded and then looked over at her. "Shall we?"
"Copy that," Dina said. "Miles, Frank," she said to the two agents in the front seats, "you guys hold here and keep your eyes on the place. The two of us are going to be weird enough knocking on their door in the middle of the night. No need to give these old folks a coronary."
The two men acknowledged the order and turned their eyes toward the Warner house as Arlo and Dina got out of the SUV.
The cold night air was like a slap on Arlo's skin as he stood and waited for his partner to join him. He shoved his hands into his coat pockets and pulled the dark wool closed tighter against the soft breeze. The assortment of rings that he wore were like small bands of warmth on his fingers.
Dina came around the back of the Tahoe and said, "Crap, it's cold. Couldn't we have done this at noon?"
"Not for this," Arlo said. "High priority acquisition. No delay. So, who are we tonight?"
"Standard DHS cover," Dina said, handing him a folded leather ID case. "Terrorist connected intel, blah, blah, blah. Secure the relic and disappear."
"Terrorists," Arlo said. "It's always terrorists."
Dina shrugged. "It's in vogue. Scary enough to get attention, but not as scary as the truth. Now, let's get this done so we can hit a Waffle House or something for all the hot chocolate they can pour."
This was usually the point in their pre-mission banter that Arlo would make some comment about her drinking coffee like all the other grown-ups, but he let the reference go without responding. His mismatched eyes were fixed on the house. Something was tickling his awareness, buzzing around his senses like an insect he couldn't quite catch sight of.
He started a little when Dina poked him in the arm and said, "Hey, Gandalf, you good? Didn't forget your meds, did you?"
Arlo looked at her and nodded.
"Yes, I'm fine, and you know I never forget. Let's go."
They crossed the street and approached the wrought iron fence that surrounded the property. It was one of the 4-foot-high models and, as near as Arlo could tell, encompassed the double-sized lot that the house was centered in. He dropped his hand on the gate and said,
"There might be a dog."
Dina said, "Maybe, but I haven't heard or seen any sign of one. Cold night like this, they probably brought him inside."
Arlo nodded and lifted the latch. The gate swung open with a soft creaking sound.